Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I speak to a new guest with a very interesting job. Of all the jobs out there, film director is definitely one that sparks the imagination in all of us. Today I managed to interview Linda Notelovic, film director who specializes in brand and advertising. She comes from the production world and she has a few insights for our listeners on what it takes to be a director. I'm here with Linda Notelovic. Thank you so much for being my guest at Job Tales. Linda, you have a job that many might consider a dream job, especially those who are passionate about filmmaking. Can you tell me what do you do as film director today?
Okay, so I am both a film director and a producer, having produced for decades and as a creative producer and executive producer. Now, I shifted into directing a few years ago because it was always, I guess, a passion of mine. And I realized that my purpose really was to be the director and actually lead the vision. As a woman in the early stages of the industry, as you know, it was much more difficult than now. And I used to sit in meetings as the only woman was just men, I remember, in the early days.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have the confidence to believe that I could be a director early on. So it's something that I did eventually shift into and naturally feel that's my place.
It's interesting what you say about you didn't feel you had the competence to be a director. What were the competences that you were thinking missing?
I don't know. I guess it was, I was always leading from behind, if you like. I was always like the engine room, like always, but leading the vision, but there was always a man to take the credit or be the glory, you know, in the situation, which was the how things were in a way. Even though I'm a strong woman and I always have been, and I don't even feel different to a man somehow. I feel I can be equal. You know, I grew up with three brothers. I had to be equal to them. And greater.
Tough competition, and greater. No, I was going to ask, when you were already in the film industry when you then became a director, you were a producer. How did you get into production work?
So I studied social sciences and I realized that I needed to do something creative. So I got a position in an ad agency, just even answering the phone for 1 month. And was very quickly promoted and got involved in production there and learned a lot. And I think, you know, as a director, there's a certain skill that one needs, which is the ability to create sound communication or allow for communication to flow really well between people. So by default, even though it wasn't my position, I became like the go-between or the spokesperson between the studio, the creative team and the advertising agency and the management. I was almost like their kind of mediator and always. So when there was a problem or something, you know, there was an issue, the management would come to me to resolve it with the creative. And so that sort of people skill and ability to understand and find solutions in a weird way kind of has helped me become a director. But I quickly moved into production. I was headhunted by a production company and I started basically at the bottom as a production manager and was very quickly producing. And I built from there. I produced for a few decades. I had my own production companies. I built directors. I built brands. I worked all over the world.
Yeah, fantastic.
And
you make it sound like it's super easy. I worked for a couple of decades. I built from scratch. I remember when you were talking about production manager. I remember becoming a production manager for me was like the top, the best of the best. And it was so hard. I found it so difficult to have a job like that. It's really about organization and about solving issues every day and problems. And how did you find that part?
Yeah, I think that's a unique ability of using both sides of your brain because, you know, it's very creative to be a problem solver and there's a leadership element involved.
For sure.
I made it my business to learn about everything. You know, it was just my innate curiosity, which is an essential ingredient to being successful in any creative endeavor. So as a production manager, I didn't just sit at a table on a film shoot or on a set. I went and I got educated by the DP, by the gaffers, by every department on set, why certain equipment was being used and, you know, what was the reason. So I learned everything. I learned everything technically. I could rig a camera off a roof of a building, if you ask me. You know, I made it my business to understand why we were doing what we were doing. It was always part of who I am. And I think that helped me a lot. And listening, learning to hear what people said in meetings and hearing what a client, you know, a client can sometimes speak to an issue or a need to understand something, but people are very often on defensive and they don't really listen or they don't hear. So it's also like almost an intuitive ability to feel the pain, you know, what the real question is, really. And then an ability to transmute that and respond to that successfully and make them feel comfortable.
It's very good. I mean, your process was from really being on, you know, the nitty-gritty job of being on set and producing, which is the base for directing, because many, you know, many may think, oh yeah, film director, you know, very creative, you create a scene, you're very artistic, and everyone else does the rest. But there's actually a lot of organizational and communicational skills involved in your job. And what do you find what are the main ingredients for becoming a good film director?
You know, even doesn't any part of a filmmaker's process, or any technician or producer or anybody involved in a filmmaking process, has to have the ability to imagine. So even as a producer for all those years, I would make the film in my head when I did a budget, when I planned everything. You know, I would understand, I would see it in my mind's eye. I would be there. I would understand and preempt the problems and understand the difficulties and the creative endeavors and what was needed to happen. So I think imagination is very, very important. Curiosity is very, very important. An ability to adapt quickly is very important too. So if you're directing talent, sometimes I work with real people that have never been in front of a camera ever in their lives before, and they're extremely terrified. And it's about being able to feel that and work with them in such a way to distract the nervousness or the fear from them and allow the kind of blooming to happen from within. There's a sensitivity or an empathy that I think works really well. Then, of course, the planning, you know, you don't just walk onto set and everything, you know, you have to lead the process from the very start to the very end. So if you don't understand something, it's very important that you surround yourself with people that do understand it, for example, like, you know, if it's post-production or an editorial thing. You know, I like an independence of knowledge. So I've always endeavored to empower myself with knowing how to do something, not necessarily having to physically do it myself, but have a deep understanding of what needs to happen. And I think, you know, an attention to detail is important. And then remembering, whether you're making advertising films, brand films, fashion films, narrative-based films, to put yourself in the seat, I always say, of the receiver. When people watch your film, what do you want them to feel? What do you want them to receive? So that there's always that kind of interplay between the observer or the voyeur and the receiver, the actor. You know, you kind of play all the roles to understand what you're creating and how you're going to put this thing together.
And what is the kind of film that you direct? In terms of, let's say categories of film, you were mentioning commercials and narrative.
Narrative-based films. I like storytelling. You know, I've worked with amazing people. Like, for example, I did the Land Rover Defender, the launch of the new Defender. But I worked with a father and son humanitarians. They're big explorers. They travel all over. They crisscross the world. They travel all over the world in Land Rover.
Fantastic.
And they do humanitarian work for malaria, for eyesight, all through Africa and all over. So, and they're incredible men. You know, they their experience is so vast. They've been in so many life-threatening situations, you know, because you can imagine war-torn Africa traveling through without, you know, armed escorts or anything like that. And honestly, just operating from a place of goodness. And it was a lovely thing. And then recently I did a women's empowerment campaign working with 6 different artists that was sponsored by Jaguar. And these women were interesting because they were very complex, it took a lot out of me. It exhausted me because it was a beautiful campaign because I had to conceptualize, write, and find meaning in each one's kind of artistry and process and create little stories with each one of them. And they were very different, sculpture, portrait artist, fashion designer, textile manufacturer, they're all very different. And extracting their truth, you know, their truism, their story, their process, their belief, their purpose, and translating that into a visual metaphor, a narrative, visual narrative with them on camera in 6 very different interpretations. So that was quite difficult. That was quite a... It was a beautiful project. I loved working with them. So I think, to answer your question, I like working with real people very much. I like the opportunity to draw their truth out of them and allow them to share their beauty. It's something I really enjoy.
How much do you need to know in terms of technical knowledge? You know, the cameras, the rigging and photography and all that when you're the director?
It's helpful to have a basic knowledge of these things. So, you know, I think, but yet if you have a relationship with a cinematographer and you work closely with a cinematographer, then, you know, then that's easier. Like I say, if you don't know, don't guess, the best thing to do is to find the people that do know and work with them. And I think people forget how interested other people are to assist and to help and to point, you know, to be available to guide. I think that I think young people need to remember that. And I know one of your questions or thoughts was, is there an age limit to this thing? And you know, there shouldn't be an age limit to anything, frankly, as long as you're retaining your vitality and your presence and you and relevance, you know, and with what's going on in the world and who you're speaking with. But young people can really benefit from drawing from the other generation's experience, I think. And
For sure. It's a very collaborative environment too, right?
It's a hugely
collective creativity.
100%. Yeah. You cannot make a film on your own. That's impossible. So
it's impossible,
It's about choosing carefully. It's about choosing the right people. There's personalities, there's people that are willing to push themselves, you know. I mean, one of the greatest things for me, one of the greatest privileges for me in a weird way is my visual effects and online artist that I work with, and she always says, oh my gosh, Linda, you've pushed me so hard to think out of the box, to be, you know, you push my creativity. So that's lovely that we can stimulate one another and then create beautiful results together.
By
curiosity, just saying, what if we try something like this and can you do that? And she's never done it before, for example, and then we just try something and it works out.
I'm thinking, you know, for someone who doesn't know how directing works or the work of a director, when, let's say you get a script for a job, you read the script, and then what happens from there? Can you tell me, you know, a bit of like little by little, the steps?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, it's very and highly competitive. So it's very rare these days that one gets a single bid. In other words, you are the only person they're speaking with, the only director they're speaking with. And then what has to happen is there's a creative pitch process that happens. Now, different countries work in different ways. Some just wait for your creative interpretation, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But others do what they call first a chemistry call. So you almost need to win the job on the very first call before you've had time to sit and work out a creative solution. So it's really just your interaction with the creative team and the producers and and talking around possibilities and exploring things live almost with them. So that's a very unique situation in the United States, for example. That always happens there. And you almost need to win the job on that very first chemistry call. happens is, as a director, you take a script and you break it down and you need to translate what's been written on a piece of paper, and very often not possible to achieve in the length of time or the budget or whatever they've written to it. So you need to find a creative solution and translate what they've written, the idea they've written or concept that they've written, into a visual solution. And again, it's about finding a unique way to communicate something. So you need to understand clearly who you're speaking to and why you're saying what you're going to say, and what, you know, you need to have, there needs to be purpose behind it, especially now. Everybody's extremely film literate, A. B, everyone's a content creator as well.
Yeah.
So, it's a very important that you don't bore people. Like, I can, this, so much that I can't watch anymore because it doesn't captivate me. So what, you have a few seconds to capture somebody's attention and to captivate them and convince them to watch till the end. So first of all, I think it's not about just doing what's been done before. It's also not doing something that hasn't been done before just for the sake of that it hasn't been done before. You know, if there's certain way something will work. And I mean, I think it's a very individualistic thing. These days, by the way, also, although I love to do my own treatments because it has to come from inside me. It has to kind of flow out from inside me. But these days, there are treatment writers, there are researchers, people that put the treatments together. So it's a strange dynamic for me because I do like to ask if anyone's got any suggestions or work, you know, ask one or two people or look at things, obviously, that inspire me to think differently or think about something. But I could never hand my job over to a treatment writer and a researcher to put a treatment together on my behalf. It doesn't feel good at all. It doesn't work for me.
For you, right. Yeah. And can you tell me, what is a treatment?
So a treatment is basically a deck. It's a document that you create, which is a visual representation of what you intend to create. Mm-hmm. So it's also, again, become extremely detailed. You've got to address every aspect of the film, the technical aspects, the talent aspects, the casting, you know, who you see in the film and why and how, the style of directing, the look and feel of everything. It's really...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a very detailed document, yeah. And, you know, and in order to present it with integrity, you need to believe in it and know that it's a good solution. So
do they hire you after you write the treatment or beforehand? Like, because it's quite a bit of work, I guess.
They hire you based on the treatment. Now, the treatment. It's not always the best treatment necessarily that wins. There's often politics. You know, so the thing is, you can't have much of a, well, you've got to have ego in order to create, but you've got to know that it's a very difficult business, and the rejection can be very hard because you can know that you're the right person to make the film and you believe in it wholeheartedly. But they might choose somebody for price. They might choose somebody because they know them, or there's another relationship you don't know about. So there's always things, you know, and energies and realities that go on that you're not necessarily aware of. But you do your treatment, and essentially based on your treatment is how you get awarded the project.
I see. And after the treatment stage, what happens next? You're hired?
Yeah, so once the job is awarded, then you're hired, and then there's a schedule in place, there's a budget in place, and the pre-production process commences. And this is the kind of practical aspect of everything that you've written about and given them visual reference to. So, you know, the casting, the scouting, the locations or the studio, the sets, the wardrobe. But through this process, there's meetings as well. Because if it's an advertising or brand or it's something that you've been paid to do, and it's not a personal project, then obviously every step of the way you need to get approval and everybody needs to be on board and everybody needs to agree. And, you know, you've got a set of clients and sometimes they're global clients based all around the world, different countries, and an ad agency. There's a team, there's a business director, there's the creative team, there's the producer, there's, you know, everyone has a vision in their minds of what this thing's going to be, even though you've been very specific in your document. So it's, you know, there's a process. So you have to have temperance, you have to be patient, you have to be very open to discussing something. What you need to remember clearly is that you're not making a film for yourself. This is not an art project for yourself. You're making a film, besides the viewer, ultimately, you're making a film for clients. You're making a film for your clients, for their clients, and then, you know, what the brand is needing to say. Mm-hmm. So, and they're experts, by the way. They know their brand. So you need to trust that.
How do you find the work with the actors? What part does it play?
I love working with people. And actors are people. So I know I said I love working with real people, but actors are also people. So it's interesting because there is a way to direct actors, especially very professional actors. It's about, for me personally, it's about generating the feeling within them of who the character is, what the circumstances are, where they are, why they're there. You know, there's a bit of a backstory that lives off camera, if you like, you know, off screen. And that's how I work with them. I don't say, you know, walk there, do that, then do that. You know, that is completely wrong. They need to embody the role. So it's about assisting an actor to get into the embodiment of that character and comfort with that role. I recently had to direct a series or a campaign for a pharmaceutical product for, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, for erectile dysfunction. and it was a very intimate, it was lovely and intimate and playful. But obviously there was boundaries around how playful or how intimate or how sensual. But it was a lovely thing because obviously two actors who didn't know one another at all and very short space of time to get them completely comfortable, very sensual, to appear to be a mature married couple and, you know, in quite an intimate role, you know, in quite an intimate role and playful role. And it was in a very short time. The commercial was really short. So each scene had to be instantly telegraph that sense of playfulness and also the story, which is where, you know, if they change their mind about something. So it was quite complicated, but that was a lot of fun, I must say. And also doing variations of hot, hotter, not hot enough.
Yeah, sure. And so, you know, to conclude, what advice do you have for the young generation who wants to enter this line of work, which is highly competitive, right?
Yeah, I mean, unlike myself and most of the generation in and around me, you know, we didn't go to film school, but I think these days I would recommend film school. I think it's a good training ground, but also depending on your background, the level of talent and opportunity, you know, don't be afraid to intern or to work under somebody else and assist like a director or a director of photography, a cinematographer for a while to learn and to observe and to watch and grow that way. And also there's no real mistakes, you know, so think, you know, I think it's good to try something. And, you know, if you think something could work, I think try it, obviously not on somebody else's budget, but I always say to people as well, take pictures all day long. Just take lots and lots of pictures because composition is a huge part of storytelling and how you compose an action, you know, and attention to detail. Yeah, is really key. So I think practice is everything.
Practice, yeah. It puts your mind to practice the composition for video composition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you very much, Linda, for your insights and your experience. I wish we had more time. If I do a longer format, I will definitely call you again and you can tell me a few more stories, what happens on set and offset and everything. But I'll definitely take if you have a website, I'd like to share it with the listeners and so that they can watch what you've done.
I'll send you the website link and I'll send you whatever you need.
Okay, super. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Nice to speak to you too.
That was Linda Notelovic, film director. You will find more episodes on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, as well as any of your favorite players. I'm always looking for new guests, so please send me ideas on jobtalespodcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, see you next week for a new episode of Job Tales.